Hello and welcome back to the Let's Backflip Show. I'm Ryan Fring, aka Lord of the Podcast and co-creative director here at Backflip. And let's see, I'm just checking the audio levels. Audio levels are so funky. I think we're pretty good. Today we've got Apache Danforth, public relations and project manager at Paradigm Design Studio, a little trend here for a couple weeks. Our good friends at Paradigm hired Apache to help with their public relations work and project management. She is of the Wolf Clan and citizen of the United Nation in Wisconsin. She's indigenous and knows the community and the goings on. So just a real great addition to the Paradigm team with all of this indigenous or tribal work that they're doing. And some of it we even get to help out with, which is really, really cool. So Apache's been great to have included into the team and brings a lot of great ideas and perspective into the work that we're doing. She's assisting with the public relations project management of a Wisconsin human trafficking prevention and training campaign in Wisconsin. So we're working on that with her. She's facilitating and producing a lot of that content, which is really, really fun. So this is the first time we actually got to sit down and hang out with Apache, which was really great. You know, we worked together some and we traveled together a little, but just to be able to, you know, sit down and really get into some conversation was really, really good. So that's what we got this week. If you don't already, please do like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. We are everywhere podcasts are sold. So we're in Apple, we're in Google, we're in Stitcher, we're in Spotify, we're in Amazon, we're all over the place, baby. Do, if you feel so inclined, leave a review. That helps people find the podcast, helps improve us through the algorithm. It's good data for us, for our podcast. And if there's other people you want us to talk to, let us know. Send us recommendations. That'd be really, really cool. Without further ado, this is episode 65 with Apache Danforth. Oh, hello there. I'm Ryan, co-creative director here at Backflip. And joining me as always is John Shoemaker. Say hey, John.
Hey, something happened to your personality.
Did you like that different intro? I was like, you know, just drinking a cup of coffee and I'm like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Here, let me do the other intro.
I had a cup of coffee too.
Hello and welcome back to another Backflip Happy Hour. I'm Ryan Fring, co-creative director here at Backflip. And joining me as always is John Shoemaker. Say, hey, John.
Hey,
John. See, there we go. We got into it. We're so good at this. We like to start the happy hour off by talking about what we're drinking, because that's one of the reasons we do these. To talk to interesting people is the first reason. Also, to day drink is reason number two. What do you got? I was showing my drink, but what do you got?
All right, I have the coffee. There's a little bit left in there. Went and found this in the kitchen. Cacti. Agave spiked seltzer. What does that mean? That means probably there's tequila.
The agave sugar. Yeah.
I don't know.
If it's open, you should taste it. I'm sure it'll taste amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to do a tequila drink, but I noticed that we have this coconut pineapple bai in the fridge, and I haven't had one of these in a while.
Okay, those too.
Yeah, I saw you grab it. And I added some rum to it, and I made like the perfect low-calorie like island drink. Little rum, pineapple, coconut, which is amazing. So that's what I got here. And then, of course, I've got two sparkling waters, water, coffee. Want to stay hydrated. I have a ridiculous amount of things. But that's not why we're here. We're here to hang out with cool, interesting people. So we're going to go ahead and bring Apache in. Welcome, Apache, to the show.
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. Pretty good. Can't complain. I mean, I could complain, but what good would that do?
Yeah. I mean, we're here for you if you do, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes for good, good show content, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's so great to have you on. We've been chatting a little bit before, but we'll just kind of jump back into it like we have been. I did want to read, you have a really cool byline that we have, you know, a little bio that we added. So I'm going to read that real quick, and then I'll let you kind of take it away. You can share what you're enjoying as a drink right now and tell us a little bit about yourself. So here's what we got. Apache Danforth is of the Wolf Clan and a citizen of the United Nation in Wisconsin. Apache is an independent consultant who has recently begun working with Paradigm Design Studio, who we work a lot with, to assist with public relations and project management. Yeah, there's that swag shirt of Wisconsin Human Trafficking Prevention Training and Campaign. Previously, she was honored to hold the role of Tribal Tourism Development Director for Native American Tourism of Wisconsin, NATOW, where she worked closely with Great Lakes Intertribal Council, the 11 sovereign nations in Native Wisconsin, and tribal leaders. Together, they work to develop, market, and promote Native tourism initiatives in a manner respectful of our culture's values and beliefs. That's pretty good.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, that's super legit. Yeah, now
you're the right person.
Yeah, tell us about yourself. Give us the real dish.
So in Oneida, my name is Yagowanawastu, and that means she speaks good words. And that was given to me by my grandmother, and she's an interesting story herself that she maybe come up later, but she lived to be 103, so she's got so it's kind of the stock, you know, we come from. So like you said, I'm working with Paradigm, and my background is public relations, communications, project management. Just happy to have an opportunity to use my expertise, and I know this is not a great time for everybody. Not everybody was able to, you know, keep their employment and career going. So I'm just thankful to be able to work on a project that I can use my expertise and is so meaningful and is going to have an impact on the people who live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I have the note here too of your native name, but I was not going to try that.
No,
try
thank you.
Yeah. But the she speaks good words, that's amazing. Like, you know, because that's so kind of what you do. Was that given to you early on or later?
That's an interesting story because it don't typically happen in our culture. And it was something more along the my mom's kind of wishes for me to transition from being a young girl to a young woman. But my first Oneida name was given to me by Grace Elijah, and we call it our fire, and we didn't have that in our community. And basically that's our ceremonies and all the ceremonies that we conduct throughout that Oneidas conduct throughout the year. Well, there are Oneidas also in near London, Ontario, and New York as well, upstate New York. So that's where we migrated from here to the Green Bay area.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So so we didn't have our culture in our ways. We had our language and we were just barely surviving and hanging on to our language. And we connected with the Oneidas in Canada, and they taught us, they began to help us bring those ways back to our community.
Mm.
I'm going to take a drink.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What do you got there? That's super fancy.
So this is a iced coffee, and it's a keto iced coffee. So it's high in healthy fats. It's got heavy whipping cream in it, but I use the Starbucks medium blend. I just buy it at the grocery store, and coconut milk, unsweetened coconut milk, and the heavy whipping cream. And then I get a sugar-free flavor syrup. And then of course, you know, the whipped cream on top, low carb. Whipped cream is low carb and low sugar. So, you know, so yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yep. I'll take two.
Yes. I would, you know, what would probably would taste really good is some of that rum in here.
Yep. Oh yeah.
A shot of rum started off. It's kind of early though, guys, for me.
That's why we always wait till 12:01. So I don't actually know where you located. Are you in the Green Bay area right now or somewhere else?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting too, because, I live on the Oneida Reservation, but my address is a Green Bay address. So we have overlapping jurisdictions with several municipalities. We're located in two entirely different counties. Right. We have a village and a township within our reservation boundaries, but our reservation boundaries have always remained intact. And that's been something that's been challenged before by people who are not necessarily accepting of natives, you know, sovereignty in our rights.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's been challenged at the Supreme, and it went to the Supreme Court level, and that's our boundaries remain intact and have been intact and will remain intact. So,
One good thing has happened. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole history on that. But where I live probably about a mile from Lambeau Field. So,
oh my gosh,
I take about three turns out of my neighborhood, and I can see the big G up on Lombardi Avenue there. So,
well, that's awesome.
Cool. It is. It's very cool. Yeah.
Well, and you're pointing out something too that a lot of people might not know, but our reservations are sovereign nations. And so you're leaving Green Bay, you're entering another, you're leaving the United States, you're entering another sovereign nation. But sure. It sounds like you said there's overlapping jurisdiction. That sounds like a pain in the neck.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it was, well, first of all, the Oneida people were here before the state was a state, was Wisconsin. So we predate the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, exactly a good example of how we're sovereign. And I'm not an expert and I'm not an attorney, and I just know a little bit about it, but I know I'm interested enough about it to try to keep it, keep abreast of it. So, we are sovereign, and basically we're a nation within a nation. We have our own constitution or our own bylaws, but that's separate from our sovereignty. Our sovereignty is inherent. We're not given our sovereignty. The United States doesn't give that to us. It's inherent. And that's with all the tribes across the nation. So it's unique. We have a really unique relationship with the federal government as well as the state government. So when you boil them down to local communities, it's, you know, Oneida looks just like any other community. I live in a suburb, basically. It's tree lined, you know, manicured grass, all that. And you know, then you go more into the reservation, into the like heart of the reservation, I guess you could say. And it's rural, it's more rural, you know, a more rural, atmosphere out there, which is something that the tribe tries to maintain and keep it, you know, natural, the natural environment and habitats upheld and, a rural atmosphere. So, but A lot of the overlapping jurisdiction issues have to do with land being sold and bought and sold and bought. But, you know, some of our land we've bought back 3 times already because we've lost it either through not understanding taxation, through not having the resources to develop infrastructure within the reservation. So there's a variety of reasons why we would have lost our land. And a lot of it was purchased by farmers. So it's a lot of farmland, and I feel like I'm keep talking.
no, that's great. And go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to say it's very interesting because I think, I've learned a ton, like working with Paradigm over the last couple of years and doing these types of projects and going, cause it's just like, I don't think I had any real good idea of what, you know, hear people like, oh yeah, I grew up on reservation, or, you know, like I was, you know, and it's like the picture in your mind's eye of what that means, maybe way off. It's just like, oh, it's just these boundary lines of like this area.
No, you need a passport.
Yeah. It's passport like,
or checking and vaccinations
or a picture in your mind of like, okay, are we talking about like a group of houses that's all together, or are we talking about
like neighborhoods,
housing, you know, like you just don't know.
We don't live in our traditional houses anymore. Right. And we don't live in teepees. Yeah. So that's Plains Indians. But no, it's like any rural community you could roll through. If you're driving from Oshkosh to Madison, you know, any one of them little towns, it could is what you'll see. You know, we have several C stores, we have several casinos, we have a lot of environmental areas that it's really kind of a cool story. It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of, if you're interested in it, but a lot of the land that was purchased from the farmers that we talked about, who, you know, a lot of the, when it was purchased back, oh, hey guys, I'm on a show. So you guys got to, we'll settle down. I got a new one. Yeah.
They can always wave too. Today. Yeah. Yeah. That always happens to me.
Here's nice. Joseph.
Hi. Hi, Joseph.
I'm on a show right now, so I need you to get going and settle right away. Yeah, show. Say, come here and say hi. And then hit it. Isabella. Oh, my gosh. That's Isabella.
Hi, Isabella. How's it going?
Just keep moving. Just keep moving. And then, Mia, come. Here.
Oh, I see like a doggy cone there. Yeah, is that what that is?
There she goes.
That's cone.
The baby. She's the baby.
Oh. Yeah, what kind of dog is she?
She's a Rottweiler.
A Rottweiler, yeah.
Don't tell the mortgage company. Got a Rottweiler.
Yeah, we have friends with the eye surgery.
She's such a big baby. Look.
Yeah, hey, what a cutie.
Look on the camera. Look at you.
So you were telling the story about your name.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of went more into the history of the nation a little bit. But yeah, could you tell us a little bit more about that? Like you talked about, you know, you don't know how common it was in your family, but then maybe your grandmother wanted to do this as like becoming a woman. Like
Yeah. So like I said, we didn't have our ceremonies here, but we connected with the Oneidas that live, that are near Ontario, London, Ontario. And they helped us with all of that. I mean, there's a huge story. And but one of their faith keepers, who is very well respected from a well respected family, gave me my name when I was younger. And it was given to me there in Oneida, Canada. So, yeah. So, but then when I got older, my mom wanted there to be, cause we, like one of the ceremonies that we lost was our rites of passage ceremony. And so there was no, we didn't have any way to do that. And so I think my mom saw it kind of as a way of my rite of passage. And so my grandmother gave me the name, Yaguwinawastu. And my first, the, hey guys, settle in and settle down, please. Okay, so her name was Grace Elijah. She was a faith keeper out there, and she gave me my name, and it was Gajit Jaha, and it means girl holding a flower. Kind of like. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, and don't worry about that. Okay. Like, we've always got kids running around in the background, too.
They're
like,
going to settle in pretty soon.
We're at home. Just have to,
well, I don't have to tell you guys about the kids coming and settling. That's just two right now.
Yeah, just the chaos of beautiful family life.
But I can see them getting their headsets on and their controllers, so they're going to be real quiet in a minute.
Nice, yeah. So let's see. You had that other name when you were in that other name given to you when you were in Canada.
Yeah. And like I said, then, that's not typically something that is done. That's when you get a name, you get it. You know, that's your name for life. So, but.
It's interesting because it also makes me think about how a lot of us, when it really comes down to it, a lot of us don't know much about who we are or who we came, where we came from and things like that, you know, like, you know, a lot of Americans especially are just like, I don't know, my family kind of grew up here or whatever, but it's like, where did you come from?
Well, that was kind of the goal. That was the goal, right? The melting pot. There, you know, we're all just Americans. There's no, you know, it was a melting pot.
Yeah.
But in the process, you're right. I think a lot of identity was lost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why, you know, the country's the way it is these days, not to get into too deep of a conversation, but there's a lot of people who don't have an identity and they need something to identify with. And I always felt like being Native American, growing up Native American, like how lucky I was that I had my identity. I didn't have to, you know, look for it somewhere else. mm-hmm. and or tried to, you know, fit in the here or fit in there. Mm-hmm. I always knew who I was and where I came from. So we have generations charted on mm-hmm. our family tree.
So. Well, yeah, this whole idea is something that I'm super interested in, because you're right. Like, the whole idea of this country, a melting pot, we're coming together, and, you know, the diversity is one of the things that make us stronger. But also in that diversity are things that are different that should not be forgotten, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it's weird to be, you know, German, Norwegian, Irish. I think those are kind of my main European ethnicities. Yeah. But then, you know, we have maybe one or two Norwegian things from my dad's mom. We have some German things from my mom's mom, but not a ton, because they lost a bunch of that from them to their parents. And then when they moved around the country, you know, they got some of that culture and, you know, community from wherever they were. And so they took on other practices as well. So then it kind of becomes, well, that's a little more Iowa and South Dakota. It's not necessarily German or Norwegian or anything. It's just kind of, you know, the Western Midwest, some of those things. And so I've been fascinated of like, okay, well, what's interesting in the past that we could bring back that's special and should be remembered and maintained, mm-hmm. as opposed to things that, you know, don't necessarily need to. So I've done a little bit of digging kind of along my dad's side to Norway and found some interesting stuff. And yeah, that's always fascinated me, because I know, you know, even like Germans here in Wisconsin, like just the very German communities. And I think there's something very special about that. And so I always think about these things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, it's great when somebody can, you know, connect with something, you know, part of them. And I think that's why the whole ancestry, you know, ancestry.com is so popular. Mm. People are looking mm-hmm. for something to connect to. And it's surprising some of the results that come out of those things too. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, but just, you know, the whole topic of identity and knowing who you are and where you came from is mm-hmm. it's really important. It's an important conversation to have.
I also love like the idea of a name meaning more, because I think a lot of people, you know, maybe in our generation, maybe in the generation surrounding it, it's just like, why are you named what you are? It's like, I don't know, somebody liked it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was popular in the 90s.
Yeah, I love the idea of like names meaning something, you know, like, well, it's because this, because we were thinking about this, or these things were happening at the time or whatever, like, you know, there's like a more of a marker, you know, of why that name has been given.
Yeah.
Do you guys have, do your kids have Oneida names yet?
Oh,
or is
yeah.
that something like becoming a, okay.
Oh yeah. Oops. No. And that's really interesting that, because, that you say, is that something becoming more, you know, common, but when I was growing up, it wasn't as common. However, then as we started learning more about our ways and bringing our ceremonies back, you know, into our community and in essence building our fire, we started, you know, you started seeing more and more families, you know, just giving the Oneida names only. So, you know, just. All my kids all have Oneida names, but they also my oldest daughter has just an Oneida name, and then the mm-hmm. rest of them have English names and then an Oneida name separate. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of families that do just go with the Oneida name, you know, as on the birth certificate and everything. And you see how long my name is. So my oldest daughter's name is Yogalesa Yoji Stokwa, and that means if you like literally translate it is what I was taught, and I don't speak the language, disclaimer, I am not a language speaker, and mm-hmm. and I'm not, when I do try to attempt to speak the language, I don't mean to offend anybody who does speak the language, because I might mm-hmm. maybe mispronounce something, but I just kind of disclaimer.
but yeah, this is a safe space.
Yeah, Well, my next daughter, her name is Yaeli Wasauha, and that means she finishes important matters. And then Isabella is, I don't say it all the time, Ganadiosta, and it means she takes care of the garden. And then my son is Lanesta Halha, and that means he hangs the corn. So a lot of the names do have to do with like the natural elements, but not necessarily like the sun, the moon, and the stars, but more like duties and responsibilities and the time of the year that, hey, Wheela's outside across the street. Oh my gosh. My little dog run over there and she goes number two on the neighbor's yard and the neighbor gets mad, but they're like, you know, she's a little dog. So they don't like that. Somebody, yeah, no, we love them. Yeah. So those are some of my kids' names and meanings. So.
And is Oneida its own language? Because I know we work with we work with Ojibwe, you know, and let's see, who's all up north? Like Fond du Lac and, you know.
Well, that's all Minnesota. The tribes up
north and west. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's there's the Lacouture, yeah. Is LCO, there's Lac de Flambeau, there's Bad River, there's St. Croix, there's Red Cliff, there's Mole Lake. Those are all six Ojibwe tribes. Mm-hmm. In the state of Wisconsin, there's 11 tribes. Six of them are Ojibwe. And then there's Menominee, Ho-Chunk, Oneida.
And is Oneida its own language then?
Yep,
or Oneida have its own language? Yep. Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah.
We all Ojibwe is obviously they're, you know, the same, and there might be different dialects, but yeah, every tribe has a different language. They might share dialects. The Mohawk language is a language that's real close to ours, close to the Oneida language. So, yeah.
Because just listening to those names, it sounds like different, like, some of the sound, the vowel sounds, the consonant sounds sound a little different than Ojibwe, which kind of has a little bit more ashka, shkna, shkna, you know, kind of like SSHs and ka, and, you know, I don't know, more chewy. I'm trying to think of a better way to.
I don't.
It just sounds very different, which, you know, is super interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't even attempt. I can just be polite and. In Ojibwe and say Buju and just greet somebody. That's about it.
And like Buju, Megwich. Yeah. I have greetings.
But I will Waswagani. I learned how to say Waswagani, and that's the in Lac de Flambeau, which is near Minocqua. They actually just opened their bowls on, they have Tuesday powwows. And so every Tuesday you can go and they have this amazing outdoor kind of amphitheater, and they have the powwow and they open it to the public, and they just started back up June 11th, I want to say. Or is that?
Oh, that's awesome. Today. Today.
So Tuesdays, they have a Tuesday powwow that they're starting. So that's really kind of interesting. But I learned how to say it Waswagani. So
that's awesome. I know in Minnesota, I actually don't know what tribe they are, but we're working with the Learning Center just northwest of the cities up there. And they, part of their Learning Center is doing regular powwows and sweat lodges and things like that and inviting everyone.
Yeah.
Which is really, really awesome. Just that idea of sharing the culture in an open way, because I feel like a lot of things go in waves, and sometimes with culture, we're like, no, you can't do that. That's us. That's our culture. But then it kind of swings back and we're like, yeah, it is our culture, but we want to share it because it's so beautiful, and you'll be better off by having experienced it. So I hope, because we're going to go do some work up there filming that stuff, I hope we can be a part of some of those experiences, because we're going to learn so much.
Yeah. So that's what you're doing with the Learning Center then, is you're doing filming?
Yeah, we're going to be filming with them. I don't know specifically what it is, but they kept talking about the powwow and the sweat lodge stuff that they're bringing everybody into. So I'm really hoping we can see some of that, participate in some of that, and then potentially film some of it.
I'd be surprised if they let you film a sweat lodge. I'd be really surprised, but I'm sure they would you know, probably open it up for you. But some of the stuff is very, you know, very guarded. But again, there's a lot of stuff that's for everybody that, you know, it's social, you know, the powwows are social. And my previous job with Natal, I would set up our booth and we'd go all over the place and market Native Wisconsin. So the 11 tribes and all of their tourism assets, but all of their, you know, their destinations, places that are of their powwows or events. So we'd market all that. And there's so many people who did not think that they could go to a powwow. Like it was just for tribal members. And I explained to them, no, my goodness, no, it's not. It's totally a social event. There's food, there's music, there's dancing, there's, you know, there's stands, there's shopping. It's a festival. It's a huge festival and everybody's welcome. Yeah. There are certain ceremonies that not everybody's welcome to, and there's certain events, but, you know, the powwows are definitely a social event and everybody should try to check them out.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing about culture and about culture sharing and stuff that I think everybody's like struggling with right now, because they're not really sure what they're supposed to do, because so many different groups have like turned everything into a fight. And I'll step lightly through this conversation, but basically, we went years back. We were up at we're camping in the Hatfield area, and then we went to a powwow in Black River Falls is over there, and it was amazing. It was super fun. The kids like had a good time, and the general experience of it was feeling very included, like. We were by far the palest family there, but it was just like, you know, the person on who was kind of announcing everything, like kept reiterating, like, just how well, you know, how happy they were for everyone to be there and, you know, and encouraging people to like dance along and it's like, we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're going to look like idiots, but like the fact that you're inviting us in instead of saying, I will be offended if you try to like do this and clearly don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are some areas of our culture right now, like you said, that are saying like, no, this isn't for you. This is only us. And if you do anything like that, if you mimic our music or the way that, you know, the style of clothing that we wear, like you are offending me. And to me, I just don't really understand some of that. Like, especially it's like, I'm not pretending to be somebody I'm not. It's just like, there's like, we've all borrowed like culture from each other. Like when we celebrate whatever holidays we do or whatever, it's actually the roots are deeper than we think. They're from other cultures that were borrowed. Anyway, so yeah, I'll let you have a thought that looks important.
No, I'm just trying to understand like what you're saying. You're like borrowing stuff. Symbols or design.
No. Like, can we sing different styles of music? You know, like that's the one. I think I can share this one because it's kind of a known thing. Like,
okay.
if there's a white rapper, sometimes they'll get a lot of flack for being like a hip hop artist because they're posing. They're not, you know, they don't really belong in that music scene. But a lot of, you know, we don't always know everybody's history. We don't know like where they're influenced by. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just making the case for that was a great experience to be included and invited. Like, here's this fun thing. Like, you guys can participate. Thank you for coming.
But where do you draw the line?
Maybe it's different. Yeah. I mean,
is that what you're saying?
That's a good question. Yeah.
It wouldn't be appropriate. I would feel very uncomfortable. Like, I wouldn't lead a powwow or create, you know, do something. So Yeah, maybe there is some difference there. I don't know.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I think part of it too is that back and that forth, you know, like when abuse and bad things happen, we react strongly. So we come, you know, really far over here. But then hopefully we kind of settle out and we're like, no, 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 this is appropriate. This is not appropriate. And we give people mercy. You know, we approach things with mercy and grace. And,
maybe it's because I don't know my identity. You know, like, that's, I think maybe that's true for a lot of like Americans, because you're like, well, I get it. I should be respectful. I need to be respectful of cultures. But then if you don't really know your history, then you're kind of left in this place of like, well, what thing can be my thing then? You know, like I'm not, you know, I'm not proud of Wonder Bread and you know, whatever.
Baseball and apple pies.
You know. At least apple pies are really good.
Right. I think, you know, regardless of identity and cultures and all of that and how far back you can go, I think that people, you know, just having basic fundamental values, good values as good people, you know, family oriented. I think that kind of is where, and I want to go back to where do you draw the line? I want to go back to that, but just in terms of identity, you know, you don't need to have an identity and know where you came from for generations to just be a good person and be nice and, you know, and kind and family oriented and, you know, those kind of values that are not just American, but they're, you know, Native American, they're Asian American, Black American. It's all, you know, we can all have them fundamentals. And Edwina, hey girl. Yes, we should all have standards as humans. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where we can find our common ground, you know, and I think that drawing the line, you know, participating in the powwow and those kind of things and feeling really included in that and knowing not to how to overstep, you know, kind of that welcome, you know, I think that I think basically people like as Native people, we understand that not everybody understands our culture. We know that. We know that everybody understands it, and you're going to get different reactions, I think, from different people. I think some people might be, you know, like, hey, you know, don't do that. But I think there's a lot of other people who will, because of our values and the way, you know, that we conduct ourselves, that will come to you from a peaceful place and in an educating place, in a place where, you know, we want you to understand this is why, not just you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
it's going to be too loud. Can you wait?
Well, and you know, I was going to say that common ground is an interesting term, and you know, Edwina, I agree with you. We should have standards that I think there's more commonality to the values that we could have and hold. There's more common ground than people think. And this starts to get into slippery slope territory as well, because there's a lot of people that will try to go the route of just like, well, whatever's good for you. It's like, well, that doesn't actually work a lot, you know, on a society level, because if everybody's just doing whatever they want to do, then we're not finding that common.
Right. It'd be uncommon. Yeah.
We're not finding those shared values where, you know, like you said, like it's important to value family and community. And so if somebody's trying to go with like, well, whatever's good for me is to not value family and not value community. It's like, okay, you're not. Like,
yeah. Well, in that, what is that? Mercy, grace, you know, there's lots of words for it. Just affording somebody the respect and dignity that they deserve as a person is so important, regardless of where they came from, what they believe. You know, we might believe two totally different things or opposing things, but you deserve dignity and respect. And I was reading a book the other day, which is really interesting. Like, you get frustrated by people, you know, you get anxious by something somebody does. And this is what is this book? It's a spiritual book. Catholic book, but it's basically saying like, you're getting anxious about someone else's behavior, but that behavior was allowed by God. So you're getting anxious on something that, you know, is a part of God's plan. So what does that say about you? You know, that's an interesting kind of Christian perspective on that. And I love just talking, you know, with people of all different types of faith persuasions, because I feel like there's all very similar elements to it in that regard. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, what does that say that I'm so impatient? I'm getting anxious because, you know, the other day, John and I were in a meeting and John was asking some good questions, but I was like getting annoyed by the questions. I'm like, why are you asking these freaking questions? Do you not trust me? And it wasn't that he didn't trust me. He was just curious about, you know, these things. And I'm like, I need to have more mercy and, you know, overcome my own shortcomings and my own expectations in order to afford that to others. And I think that's one of those common grounds, those basic kind of cultural things that we can extend to other people.
I need 1 minute. I'm going to turn my mic off. Is that okay?
That sounds good. Yeah.
We can always vamp.
It sounds like you have to fight a dog.
Maybe the thought that came to my mind, but I'll have to restate it when we have her back, is, yeah, and maybe this kind of gets to Edwina's point here too, is then, okay, so we've got these like common ground, trying to have some values, trying to respect each other. It seems that the drama of a lot of the work that we've been doing and telling people's stories is, what do you do now today when injustices have been done in the past by other people who are not you? Yeah. What do you do now? Because now here you are and you're in the present moment, and we, like, especially with the country just in general and the drama of like Native communities and reservations and stuff, like, what do you do? Like, it's, you can't unwind all of that. You can't go back and like undo the country. But then how do you move forward in respecting communities and cultures and things like that, that, you know?
Yeah. That's a really good point that you're going to have to reiterate.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. Yeah. I don't want to say anything cause I want to wait.
I'm not the person to answer the question that I pose, but that it is, it's extremely interesting to me, to look at that point, because there's so many different areas. I mean, we could take it instead of a macro level, we could take it down to a micro level and say, well, how does it work?
Here we go.
I asked a, you know, $1 million question while you were gone.
If you solve this, you get the $1 million.
So I was just saying that what's so interesting to me about a lot of the work that we've done in interviewing people and hearing stories and talking about history and communities on the topic
and learning real history. Yeah.
And Edwina's right. I knew she was going to answer for me and get in there and get some good feedback.
Yeah. But
there's kind of the question, the drama of like, what do you do then? If we're talking about respecting each other and respecting community and respecting values, what do you do with injustices that are historic? You know, they're years back there. They were done by people that were not you, were not me, that we don't even know. Maybe we kind of have the connection of like how they were somewhat related to some family. But now we're here. Now we're in the present moment. And you can't really unwind the thing. So you can't really unwind the country and take it apart and like give it back and restore it. It's kind of, I think some people would like that, but it's not really like reasonable on a societal level too. Like, so how do you move forward? And Edwina's
Yeah, how do we fix these historical injustices?
Education and awareness.
And I don't know, John. I think I don't know that I agree that we can't go back to a more civilized society, because I think if we just all go back to the traditional way that we all live. No, I'm joking. but if we all conduct ourselves in that manner with those values and that, you know, there is a way. Yeah. But you can only do it within yourselves and your own family. That's the way you have to start it, is within yourself and within your family. And, you know, like Edwina said, it's not my responsibility to, you know, educate somebody about it. It's their responsibility to get it, but where are they going to get it from? Mm-hmm. Why not get it from the source? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think this is it might be a good segue into talking about the project a little bit more.
Yeah,
let's see. Because the project that I'm working about really, really does, it's a really good example of having our seat at the table, having a Native American voice and perspective weighing in on things that are affecting our communities and our people and our women and girls. So that's a big part of the project I'm working on is there's an opportunity for me to sit at the table and advise on this project. And like I said, I'm not the MMIW expert. I'm not a human trafficking expert, but I'm a project manager and I'm a Native woman, and that is a very, you know, has a very impact. I have daughters, you know, human trafficking has an impact on me personally. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that I'm Native and I have daughters. And right now in Wisconsin, there is a task force that's been set up through the Attorney General's office. And it is an Indigenous-led task force. So they're working on some of the issues that come up when you're talking about human trafficking. And I don't want to speak specifically on MMIW, but like, I'm just going to talk about human trafficking as a
general. We might need to mention too. We all know MMIW, missing, murdered Indigenous women, and sometimes there's other letters after that. Women, children, boys, or men.
And I think it's girls, children, two-spirited.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you guys are familiar with MMIW and the impact. Mm-hmm. And, I did look up a little bit just to kind of give a little perspective on how our Native American women and girls are targeted for this. You know, and the statistics in Minnesota's has a task force that's been established, and they've already developed their report. And I know you guys have worked over there, so I thought it'd be kind of appropriate to look at that. But, you know, in Minnesota, although there's a lot of tribes there, the Native American population is only 1% in Minnesota, but 9% of the murdered and missing women in their state are Native American, you know? So that just shows you the
disproportionate nature of it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. And we know
Same thing with human trafficking, right? I think there's a statistic of like 40%, right, are Native individuals.
Yeah, it's a lot. Which is
insanely disproportionate.
Right. But one of the things, too, that's important to talk about when you're talking about this is that the statistic is a challenge area, and that's something that I've learned just working with this project, getting accurate statistics on Natives, because there's a lot of times issues and with reporting and jurisdiction and so it's not even getting to the right agency or the right jurisdiction. And then by the time that you've already lost the victim because they don't want to report. There's so many issues with human trafficking that I've learned. Like I said, that's not my area of expertise, but I knew that was going to be hard when I took this project. I knew that was going to be a challenge for me to take on that heavy stuff. So,
we've seen examples of the systemic racism of it, in that things get reported, but then the authorities say, well, they're a native, you know, so they kind of disappear for a couple of days. They'll be back. It'll be fine. So some of the normal protocols aren't taken into account. So in the film, we talk about it of like, why does, you know, this little white girl, when she goes missing, you know, within 12 hours, they're looking for her.
Yeah.
But this native girl, they don't even start after a week, or they start after a week, you know. They were notified 2 days after she was gone, but they're like, you know, they disappear. And like, that's like, you know, that is just a inappropriate racism that, you know, is something that exists. And it was definitely enlightening to actually see that and hear those stories, because you kind of hear that in the news, but you don't think about it. And then you hear and see some examples and you're like, oh, okay. And I guess you could argue about the idea of systemic in the sense of like, is that a rule that if it's a native girl, you don't do it? It's not a rule, but it's it's what, how people behave.
Perception.
It's a behavior. It's, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I've heard stories like from women who've actually been attempted abduction, and it wasn't always, you know, the reporting part of it was a challenge for her. And, you know, because nothing actually happened, you know, there's nothing to report. Yet they know who tried to do it. They have his license plate number, but there's nothing to report. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the challenges that, you know, and when you're talking about human trafficking, that's happening. So the project that we're working on is we're providing a training. We're providing a training video for a large controversial company, and their workers, and who will be converging on Northern Wisconsin to work on a large project. So we know that, you know, not that the industry has full ownership of it, but we know that this industry is directly related to human trafficking. So I can see that they are trying to be proactive in providing this training and going right into the state and getting people using the resources within the state of Wisconsin who are working on this and who have been working on human trafficking issues in that part of the state, and getting them to the table and saying, hey, what do we need to tell our employees? What should we tell them? Because we don't want this happening. We don't want any cases happening while we're here. You know,
it's great that, you know, you're getting at the source, because, you know, we know the statistics, you know, tell us that like anytime there's a large group of like, I forget the terms that people use, but workers, part-time workers that are in town for a part-time, or, you know, they always talk about the Super Bowl, like big events that show up in an area that are just bring a lot of people. The people that are actually doing the trafficking, they're targeting those types of areas. So getting at the source of it is like a good way to tackle it. But yeah, it's not still not easy.
And being proactive about it and letting them know, hey, we are on task about this. And so are the people in this area. They are aware that this is, you know, that this project is happening there, you know, and part of the program that I'm working with Paradigm, and part of the program we're developing is that training piece. And we, you know, it's going to reach about 700 of these employees. And, that's, to me, 700, that's a big impact. You know, what they do with it after that, you know, that's, you know, we don't have no control over that. However, they had to hear it and they had to go through it and they had to know. And, you know, I think we want to kind of, remind them that, you know, these girls, they're somebody's daughter, they're somebody's, you know, sister. They're human beings. These are humans. They're not objects. And I just think kind of playing to, you know, that emotion in people and that empathy and that value and common value that people should have is going to be a good part of the training and the video, because it's a training video followed up with some curriculum. But then there'll also be, you know, as they did with Your Call MN, there's that ongoing marketing awareness piece with the project. So there's the training and then the outward marketing piece to it. So it's going to have an impact. And I don't, maybe you guys can talk a little bit about the Minnesota, what you guys did in Minnesota.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of work that we're doing in Minnesota in this public awareness. So certainly the public awareness campaign and in training. And then with other groups up there, like we work with The Link, who works with victims, as well as Men's Breaking Free, with trafficking victims, as well as former John's sex buyers. So, it, you know, it's so crazy. We've talked about this with Rob before too. Like, this stuff is heavy, and like, it's 12:56 in like 15 or 20 minutes. We're going to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie to get to know you more. But it's an interesting thing, because we're talking about something so heavy and so important, and we, you know, want to get the word out. But at the same time, it's like, how do you deal with this stuff as a person? You know, how do you hear these statistics and like hear about like a 4-year-old being abused, right?
Yeah.
Or a toddler being groomed, you know, Christine Stark's story. Like, I want to make a movie about that. I want books to be like, I know she does a lot of work too, but like, I hadn't heard about her until we worked on this project. And she was somebody who had been abused since she was a toddler, groomed for pornography and sex work. And she got out of it when she was like 18. She was able to go away, go to school. And, you know, she's still dealing with that. And like, anyone who hears that will feel that, you know, like I'm getting like, oh my gosh.
I can't believe it. And she's an amazing author. She's an amazing writer. I mean, I haven't read
all her. Yeah, she's sharing and she's writing. Yeah. All these, it's like fiction. I'm trying to think, but just stories, that helps her deal with it, but then can help others as well. And like this work is so important, but there's a culture, and this again, like a problem with just predominant culture, where it's like, no, it's empowering that a woman is selling her body and she wants to do it, and you know, it's okay. And I think what we're finding is most of the time, 99, I'm making up statistics, I don't know, but a majority of the time, it's not okay with them. They're being trafficked by somebody else in a small way, in a big way. Even we spoke with a woman at who works for Men Breaking Free in the cities, and she would actually go work at legal brothels. She was being pimped by somebody in the cities, and he would send her out. He would fly her around the country. And one of the places he would send her is a legal brothel, even to the point where he was able to get her a social security card to the police, because you have to register at the, police department to be a legal escort, or I don't know what they're called, to work in a brothel. And that appeared in one day, and the police were like, okay, sounds good. You know? So that's obviously like cultural systems of problem, and that perception, like people think, no, it's okay, it's fine. And you know how pornography can lead into that. People don't understand. The work that we're doing, I hope people see far and wide, because it's enlightening, it's eye-opening, and it's something that everybody needs to hear. Everybody, you know, even if you're not remotely close to this in the sense of like, you might not buy sex, but you have family members, you have friends, you know, like who could be vulnerable or could be abused, or you might see somebody at a hotel. If you go to the big game, if you go, you know, to the Super Bowl and you see some stuff going on, you need to be educated enough that you can report that, you know? So you mentioned the work that we're doing. This, that was just kind of my brain spew of like kind of the current experience of, I don't know, what I've been thinking about lately. We might have lost. Oh, there you are. Yeah.
Yeah. I was muted because there's a lot of stuff going on, but definitely a lot of bystander, you know, syndrome going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something I was just talking about with my girlfriend and saying, you know, and it's kind of an, you know, that's not, you know, a human trafficking example at all, but we went to a local pond lake and these kids had taken one of the picnic tables and threw it in, you know, put it in the lake, and they were playing on it and jumping off it. And when we got there, and there was a couple other adults, you know, who were there, and then we set up, we just kind of ignored them. But then they went and they grabbed some rocks that were in this creek, and they brought these big rocks, these big concrete rocks. They're going to throw them in, and I was stopped them. I said, "Hey guys, are those supposed to go in there? You know, like, are you supposed to put those in there? Because if you're not, then you probably should just go put them back." And they're like, "Well, no, we're just going to wash them off." I was like, "I think you probably should go put them back." And then I was like, that picnic table shouldn't be in there either. I was like, you need to put that back too. But I'm thinking about my kid's going to go in there and cut his foot on, you know, this big rock that they're putting in there because it doesn't belong in there. But if I don't say anything, they're just going to do it. And so that's what I was kind of thinking, like the bystander, you know, system is we got to start speaking up. And it's about people's safety. It's not about me being comfortable or being uncomfortable yelling at somebody else's kid, even though I didn't try to yell at him. You know, it's not about my comfort or my anxiety. It's about somebody's safety in the long run. At the end of the day, you're doing something, you know, that's, you're helping somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, yeah, I've done it too. And we put together an advisory group of law enforcement, advocates. It's an indigenous led group to help us advise us on this project. So one of the things that we're hearing is, and even one of the law enforcement, you know, people that are on our group, you know, she goes, "I seen it when I was on a call. I seen it, but because we weren't trained and we didn't have a really good grasp of human trafficking and all that, what that entailed." You know, she said, "I let it go and I regret that to this day because I could have done something." And that's an officer, you know? So imagine just being a citizen and, you know, do you have an opportunity to save somebody, and what are you going to do? But if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what it is, how can you report it? How can you help? And that's why this Minnesota isn't so important. Because it has those elements of what should I do? Who should I call? And that's why this project is going to be incredibly important to Wisconsin, because it's going to not only educate the company and their employees, but it's also going to be a resource for the communities and people to tap into to know where to go and know what to do and know who's working on these, you know, who's there to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's so important too, because we see these things and we're like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy in Minnesota. That's not here."
Yeah.
Or you see something national and you're like, "Yeah, Vegas is messed up or New York is messed up." But what it does, you know, doing something here is like, yeah, this is happening in Madison. Here's a story from Madison. This is Milwaukee. This is Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, here's some stories to let you know that it's in your backyard. And that's part of the messaging of the film that we created, is like your daughter, your sister, your brother, your, you know, your kid, whatever. It's like, no, this is personal because we are, you know, the human family. And so you might not know somebody specifically, but this is your people in your community, and it's happening, and you can help stop it. And you got to step up.
Right. We have to step out of that, status quo type of attitude. I don't even know if that's the right thing to say, but you know, we all kind of just mind our own business. And as long as it's not affecting me, I'm all good, you know? So, and as long as I'm doing my part, but you know, things like this, these are, you know, you guys have kids, you know, that's your daughter. What if that was your daughter? And, you know, I know people who do have personal experiences in that area, and you know, it's not easy. It's hard. It's a hard thing. And, it just to deal with. So, you know, how do we, that's what I'm saying. This project is just going to help people identify and know what to do and empower them to do it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and like, I know a story of a friend whose kid's in college and his daughter's friend disappeared for a week, you know, and they were partying and all of a sudden she disappears and then she comes back and, it was essentially, you know, being groomed to be in, you know, not the conventional, you think of like sex trafficking, like kids in cages or people in cages, but like,
savvy. It's more sophisticated. Yeah.
Hey, you want to go party? Go party. Yep. But give that, you know, go hang out with those people and have a good time. Right. Like this person disappeared for a week and you're like, oh my gosh, like at a major college, like, this is happening and it's happening to us. It's happening to our friends and our family. Like,
and it's happening real. Online. It's a lot of it is happening online and, and who's all online, you know?
Right.
And that's one thing I was trying to like, you know, it's not, you know, it's not always, your typical abduction where somebody you're grabbed off the street, you know, it's like you said, it's the grooming, it's the, you know, let's party. It's the enticement of it. And then, oh, you know what? You owe me something now. And, and unfortunately I think it goes back to identity again, or, and values. And, you know, I don't want to speak on that because I don't want to judge or assume anything, you know, of anybody in those situations. Cause then, you know, you don't know how you're going to react, but you would just hope that you would just hope that, you know, your own daughter or your own niece or would know how to handle themselves in that situation. Yeah. And again, that goes back to education and awareness.
And it is important. Like the values are important. And I think apart from the specific issues, the higher level problems that are falling down is like, just breaking down of values and saying like, well, nothing matters. You just do whatever you want. You know, if it's good for you, it's good for, it's like, no, that's not true. Like
not hurting anybody. So
like parents need to teach their children that they have value and that they don't need to give somebody else something to then equate to value. Like that stuff is important. And then, so if somebody doesn't value the, you know, the importance of being a parent, you know, like there's just a lot of things that are connected. And then the other thing that, you know, the weight I feel and the weight we all feel, I think, working on these projects is that if there's money being exchanged in these situations, that means that there's somebody driving this, that there's an industry behind it, that there are powers beyond what we can see that are taking place behind the scenes. Ryan's, you know, example that we heard in the last project of somebody ending up with a social security card so that they could get the legal status of working at this like legal brothel. It's like, how did you get a social security card? Like what kind of connections are happening behind the scenes? So then you just kind of feel like, wow, it's a huge thing. And so it can feel overwhelming, but just taking one step, you know, trying to, you know, you mentioned 700 people are going to see it on the staff from this one project. On one hand, it's like, well, 700 isn't, you know, the number of instances that there are in the country. But on the other hand, it's like, well, that's 700. And if we can stop one instance, like, that's an important thing, you know, like we can stop two different instances of something happening.
And the only way that they're going to be do that is if they're monitoring each other, if they're holding each other accountable, you know, and I know see something, say something, and it has to do with terrorism, but human trafficking is a huge industry, just like you said, John. And if you think about it, and you guys worked in this kind of this field before, but if you think about it, if you have a human being, you don't need to re-up like drugs, right? You need to re-up drugs and to sell them, you need to get more. But with the human being, you can use that human being over and over. So it's becoming, it's more of an economic impact than we realize. And the other thing too, that we talked about earlier is, the porno, how much, porn plays into this. And I just seen a little factoid that, Pornhub is one of the most visited, is the most visited site over like some of the other popular ones that, a lot of people go on. But it's just like, I can see why. I can believe it.
Yeah, it's like the number one or number two search engine, like just total, like even above Google, like it's insane. And you mentioned the dangers of online, and like I streamed some other stuff, like I streamed some games and I streamed some fitness stuff, and twice on some of the fitness stuff, I've had people jump in and then say really inappropriate things, but that's like twice over like 20 times. And I saw a piece, I forget who did it, but basically they posed as like a 13-year-old on Instagram. And within an hour of that fake 13-year-old posting some photos of herself, there was like, hey, send me some pics, and like, here's some pics of me, and like just ridiculous interactions.
A social experiment?
That's a whole new thing. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Maybe if my wife's watching, she could text me more information. It's an organization that helps educate parents about the dangers of social media, with kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, solving the difficult problems here on our happy hour.
Well, and it's heavy stuff, but it gets back to that point of like, what we're attempting to do with these projects is do the work version of not just looking the other way and being like, oh, that's because, it's like sometimes you're working on a project and you're just like, oh, my gosh, I want to like hear all this, but then at the same time, you're like, but no, it's important. It's important to like not step away from it and disengage and just like go do the easy stuff, because that's how the problem exists and why it's continuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious, Apache, kind of your previous work, more culturally related. What was it like kind of getting involved in this project, especially the human trafficking aspects of it? Was it similar to kind of the projects you've worked on before, or was it drastically different?
I would say it is different. It is drastically different. I have developed curriculums before and things like that of that nature, and worked on many projects with that involves strategic planning. So in terms of my previous job, definitely strategic planning was a huge part of that. And that is what I use to drive this project as well. Making sure that we have that solid strategic plan, and that we're following it, and there's phases and some kind of, gauge to what, to gauge our success. So, in terms of the human trafficking part of it, definitely, a lot heavier than projects I've worked on before. I worked on a large event that was developed, and was kind of a brainchild that came out of Wisconsin Public Television. And they did a bunch of interviews with veterans and Vietnam veterans specifically. And through those interviews, realizing that they did not get the welcome home that everybody else got. From the war, because of the controversy of the Vietnam War, so they wanted to have a landing zone for them, like in the field or in battle. The landing zone is you're going to go home. You got to get to the landing zone because that's going to get you the chopper out of here, and you're going to go home.
Oh, okay,
So they had this huge event at Lambeau Field, LZ Lambeau, at Landing Zone Lambeau.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that? It was been a few years back now.
Well, actually, we worked with John. Who did we work with?
Mick and John from Wisconsin Public TV.
Well, we didn't work with Wisconsin Public Television, but we worked with a group who, what is it called? Badger Flight, I think it's called. So they do that. So they take them, they fly them out. It's like Honor a day flight to D.C.
What's Honor that? Flight.
Honor Flight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they take them out to D.C. and, like, especially the Vietnam vets.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they come home, there's a line clapping for them and, you know, giving them the welcome that they deserved and never got. Yeah.
So I guess when you're talking about, you know, the projects that are meaningful, that, you know, that's another project that was very meaningful to me that I worked on, working with the veterans. I worked with veterans and singers from all over the state, and because each tribe has a color guard. So each tribe sent a color guard for LZ Lambeau, and then they all sent a drum as well. So they all had the big drum, the big powwow drum, I guess you'd be more familiar with, that they use at the powwows. But also, so that work in LZ Lambeau, working with the 11 tribes, translated to my work with Natal. I worked with all 11 tribes. I helped them to develop tourism strategies and inventory the tourism assets, you know, as they call them, that they had, and market them and promote them. And I did that on a state level, on a national level, and actually an international level. Where I attended a travel show in Bergamo, Italy, and represented the 11 tribes. So we had a really far reach by going out there. And we actually, that trade show in Bergamo, Italy, actually paid off because we got a media tour to come and do a tour of Native Wisconsin. So I developed an itinerary that started in Red Cliff and went all the way through the state and visited almost every tribe in the state. And we had travel writers from Italy, Italian travel writers, and travel agents or operators. The operators are kind of do the bigger tours, and the agents do the individual. So we had a nice group that came through, and we were able to show them Native Wisconsin. So that was kind of the cool stuff I got to do with NATAL. I got to work with this the Department of Tourism and be on their the Governor's Tourism Council, which was really amazing to see what everybody's doing across the state, just in terms of the arts and destinations and experiential events and things of that nature. Another governor's committee that I was able to sit on, and I'm actually still a part of, is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion and Accessibility Committee. So, which is really meaningful work as well. I get to work with people from across the state and who are working on, you know, providing opportunities and for everybody, you know, and not just people of color, but, you know, people who are disabled or, you know, that accessibility part as well. So it's really meaningful work that I get to do. And I feel like I'm babbling again.
No, that's why we came here, to hang out and, you know, just hear you share your story and just kind of, I don't know, engage, right? Because that's what's important. It kind of gets back to Edwina's kind of comment about, like, have discussions, be an ally. Like, let's, you know, aside from being an ally with a particular cause, let's be an ally with each other.
Yeah. You know? Don't be a bystander, like, you know? Don't be a bystander. Say something, see something, you know, get... Ask the question, and that goes back to John's, like, where do you draw the line? Just ask, you know, don't be afraid to ask. And, you know, you'll know who you can ask. You'll know, you know, it's like you said, you went to the powwow on Black River and the announcer was, you know, included everybody, you know, and, you know, you know, the people who you can be an ally with, they'll let you know that you know, that it's open. And, you know, for the most part, I mean, a lot of every community I've worked in, every Native community in the state I've worked in has been opened their door and welcomed, you know, welcomed us in. Not just me. I mean, I brought, like I said, I brought a lot of people, you know, from other areas to the state. So they, you know, they were always, it's like going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We've had such great experiences too, working with just so many different people, so many different tribes, so many different organizations, because again, we're trying to partner to protect, you know, to protect our people, like our people, like all of ours together, in our communities. And in that work, we're all, we're all that.
I mean, it can only help. It can't harm anything. You know, it can't do any harm. So.
Yeah. At least that's the goal, right?
Yeah. And I appreciate Edwina weighing in like that, because, you know, sometimes I do forget. It's not my job to educate. I mean, I know on this show, of course, you know, I want to come and share, but, you know, it's not always, you know, it's not always our job to do that. And as long as it's, you know, like she said, reciprocate it. And, you know, you do take that and have that, you know, similar conversation with somebody else or somebody in your peer group or your network. And, you know, that's how we're going to start bridging that gap. And I like that this conversation really has that underlying tone of inclusion and building common ground. And, you know, one of the things to just real quickly too, one of the things I had to kind of contest with is, taking on this project is who, you know, the larger controversial company and is that going to impact me as, you know, how does that impact me? And my values, am I going against my, not being true to myself and my values? If I go work for this company when I'm supposed to be this, you know, when I am not supposed to be, but when I'm, you know, when I was raised in a family of activists and, you know, we always, you know, it was always against, you know, the powers that be, but here I am, with an opportunity to sit at the table with them and express my voice and represent. And I'm not going to say I speak for all Natives across the board, but I want my community and the people I know and my extended communities, I want them to be represented in a way that is respectful and culturally appropriate and authentic. You know, anyone could have taken this job, but I really felt like I was the best one to do it at the time, and that I give it that Indigenous voice that it needs.
Yeah, well, and that's what I've been impressed with too. Is, you know, it could just be like, it's just a PR issue, or you know, it's just a thing, right. And they're doing it, and we're only going to do the things that we want to do. But like, you know, being Indigenous led. Having Rob be a part of a lot of this as well, you know, like I get to see him say, no, that's not good. You can't do it that way.
I've seen Rob do that too.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen, I don't know, anybody in business tell like just a big corporation that, and then have that big corporation listen. So there's something special happening and it's good to be a part of it.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And you know, like I said, I had to do some soul searching, and I went to my elders and I went to my family, and, you know, I discussed it with my homegirls, like, what do you think? Should I, you know, and at the end of the day, they're all like, it's good work. And if you don't do it, you know, who else is going to do it?
Yeah.
And, you know,
who better? Yeah.
I think it's one of those things, like, it's not that activism is not a good thing to do at times, but when you think about impact at the end of the day, I think is what you're looking for. Cause it's like, well, let's say that we're really successful with like this activism group versus some corporation, and you stop the work that they're doing. Some other corporation is just going to come in and take over that, like, you know, that void in the market. Like, it's just industry is just driving forward, looking for different opportunities to like do work. Mm-hmm. So if you can get in there and be a voice at the table, like you said, or be like a leader in the organization and actually steer it in the direction. Yeah. It's the impact that you can have at the end of the day is going to be
I do.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
Yeah, and I believe this project has the potential to have a huge impact and to be very helpful. And I think that people are, when they see what we're doing, I think they're going to want to be more involved in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we are almost at 1:30, but I did want to kind of play our two truths and a lie because, you know, when we're working on heavy stuff, I think it's important to also acknowledge and connect just as humans, and telling these fun stories are really good as well. So let me see this. I did this the other day, which is really fantastic. Here we go.
This feels is a lie.
So that's like a light turn to this discussion. That was one of my girls last week when I was at home. I was like, say this several times. And she did it like she was performing. I think she's a huge ham. It's amazing. So if you haven't played this game before, it's just a fun kind of way to get to know each other, know each other's story a little bit better. With the time, John and I aren't going to have any truths and a lie. So I'll vamp a little bit. But
okay.
I know, right?
Talking about equality.
Yeah, they just want to hear you anyway. They want to hear our stories. So the idea is that you're going to tell us three stories, and two of them are going to be truths, and one of them is going to be a lie. We're not going to know which one they are, and we're going to guess, and the people at home are going to guess as well, and it'll help us get to know you just a little bit better. You want to stump us, and anybody who guesses at home, we're tracking it, and once we get our coasters, we'll send you some coasters. So that's your gift for coming on and playing the game with us.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think here. I just got one.
That's
more.
Okay. Yeah, you can think. I can keep vamping. We do have Rob coming on in a few weeks. Let me check the schedule. Rob's been on a couple of times. He's a good friend and colleague. Let's see when I've got him. I don't have him on this schedule. He's over on this schedule. We had a golf outing that he had to duck out of. I'm very sad. So we got Rob in a couple of weeks. July 2nd, I believe, we've got Rob. So that'll be fun. That'll be at 4 p.m. That's our schedule right now. I'm assuming that's still happening, unless Emily texts me and tells me it's not. That'll be awesome. Rob Perro, you've seen him before. He is the namesake of Paradigm Studio, Creative Studio. What are they? I don't know what Paradigm's called.
Design. I think it's just Paradigm. I don't know where. Design Studio.
Yeah, that's probably their legal name. But
yeah, they're LLC.
You know, kind of like us. Yeah, like we're like Backflip Film Productions LLC. Yeah. But now we're more of a general agency, so we're just Backflip or Backflip Creative Marketing, doing business as those types of things. So it looks like you're ready.
Yep. All right. I just got to tell you these three things, and you're going to tell me which one's the truth and which one's a lie, right?
Yep, we're going to guess the lie. And the people at home can guess too. And if you guess right, you'll get a gift.
Okay. So, I went skydiving. I'm 47 years old and I have a master's degree.
Ooh. I'm just writing these down. All right. I like to make John go first because then I can hear his thought process.
Not easily offended.
Yeah. 47 years old. I'm not going to guess that one. It's like Brian Regan has a joke and my wife has lived this. It's like never, ever, 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 ever guess if a woman is pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah. You're saying that. You're like, when's the baby due? You just can't get that back as soon as you start saying
it.
A very, very quick tangent. Is that not common knowledge in culture that you don't ask if somebody's pregnant? Like when you're in a family where you've had five children, like there's a lot of having the baby and then there's time after the baby and there's working toward, you know,
we're not even having a baby. You can,
And I cannot, like, I cannot believe how many times my wife has been like, yeah, somebody asked that, you know, about like, oh, are you pregnant? And I'm just like, do people not like, I feel like I learned this as soon as I was like a teenager. It was like, listen, son, one of the things you need to know for life. Apparently my dad was like, I don't know, Bill Clinton.
I've done that myself. I've done that myself. And it was very, I was very embarrassed.
If anyone's watching,
I'm so sorry for you.
Here's some advice my dad gave me. He said, ask people, how is the family doing?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Let them tell you. Your dad was Bill Clinton, right?
Let them offer you the information if they want to share it.
Very diplomatic. Very.
Yeah, here you go. Tip of the day. Ask how's the family doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know the political question, the political guess I should make is it's also the actual guess I'm going to make. The political guess is 47 is a lie. There's no way you're 47. You're much younger than that.
Let's see. So I also, I want skydiving and I feel like you have a master's degree that checks out in my random thought process. And I like to think you've gone skydiving because I would like to go skydiving. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm going to say you're definitely not 47 years old in a good way.
I've never been skydiving before.
Oh, no.
Oh, we should have gone with Edwina.
I don't think I want to go either. Well, she's kind of not fair, but I'm going to bust her out like that.
Well, we didn't even listen to her. We chose our own. Yeah.
Good. Well, good. She gets the prize, right?
No, that's
and she stuck it out and listened the whole time. Yay.
That's right. Yeah. So Edwina, please do text us. You can do it on Facebook and send us your address and we can send you some good stuff.
What's the master's degree?
Yeah. Public relations from Kent State. Yeah.
And I don't think, just to bring it full circle, I don't know that we got back to when it happened, but when did you get your name from your grandma?
Oh, I was young, like 17. 16, okay. 17, yeah, really young.
Yeah, so before you were professionally doing all this stuff.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's cool. I know. I think about that too. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, like did it set you on a path to this, or was that something that, you know, they could just see in you?
I don't know. Could be. I have no clue.
That's awesome.
Either way, it works for me. I'm glad. I'm happy.
Also, Edwina also didn't know you had a master's degree, so that's fun.
Really, girl?
So that's our show for today. Is there anything we can promote for you?
That's interesting that you asked because my partner and I just started a carpet cleaning business.
Oh, okay.
And we're located or run under Green Bay. So I don't know if this is backwards. Bright Star Cleaners LLC. Shameless
plug. You got a website?
Yep, it's Bright Star Cleaners GB.com.
Here we go. I got you. Ready for this? Boom.
Yes.
There we go.
Plug for the company. We've been just started up in April and manifested this company while we were in the pandemic and pulled the trigger on it and launched in April and it's been pretty good, pretty steady. So
awesome.
That's awesome.
Continue. Yeah.
You're a woman of many, many talents there.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's why I have a partner. I'm only part of this, half of the business. So he does the hard work.
That's how I want to do it. I want to do the thinking and then someone else can do the hard work.
I get to do like the website and the Facebook and the fun stuff. So
nice. Yeah. The public relations. That's great. Yeah.
I have gone on a couple of jobs. He says I need to go on more, but I have gone on a couple jobs and it is definitely.
You just tell him he needs to work harder.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so like I said, we got Rob coming up in 2 weeks, I believe it is. Cool. Next week, we might do a hostable or We haven't done one of those in a while, where we hang out and talk about things that are going on with us. So tune in for that. Thank you, Apache, so much for coming on. And I know you mentioned in the beginning, you know, just not knowing kind of what's going on. You were nervous, but like, this has been such an awesome conversation.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till we do the next one, because now we start with this rapport that we have, which is awesome.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. Maybe it'll be later. Can we do you ever go later? Do we do like actual hours?
Well, we are thinking of moving it later for that sake, you know, like it was kind of easy to do at noon on a Friday, but like, there's no reason we can't do it like on a 4 o'clock or something. So yeah, we'll definitely schedule you for a later one.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, John, do you got anything else for me?
You just got to educate yourself, you know, provide awareness and have discussions.
Yeah. It's simple. It might not be easy, but it's
maybe
simple.
Maybe that wasn't my idea.
Look what I found right down below. That's awesome. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Edwina. And that's our show for today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Check letsbackflip.com/podcast. All this is going to be in our podcast from now on. So, yeah. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Like a human being there.